So from the department of once a midweek driver, always a midweek driver, Hannah, would you like to describe what we're seeing now in the magical, wonderful world of describing pictures on radio and audio for our radio listener? What sort of magical things have we got here?
I see the very iconic TARDIS,
which is
a blue police box.
Yes.
And I'm intrigued because I do love Doctor Who. And there are two lovely ladies standing beside it.
Natalie Tuck, graduate of the University of Lincoln, of course.
And if I read the sign, it seems to say the Doctor Who, I'm going to assume that might say Maze.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah, taken from 2014.
Ooh.
Which is one of the last times we actually featured Katrina Webb with us. Katrina, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. How have you been?
Hi, everybody. I've been very well, thank you.
Very good.
It's nice to be back.
Yep, as I say, one of those areas where through social media, actually, we kind of connected and I said, it's high time you actually joined us once again on the show. So she said, OK, then let's do January the 17th. And then the magic was there. It's great stuff.
Brilliant. Easy peasy.
It's lemon squeezy. Fantastic stuff there. So, Hannah, you haven't been to the York Maze. And Tessa, you haven't been to the York Maze.
I haven't.
So, Katrina, why, given that these two folk are in the final term of their 6-semester course as undergraduates at the University of Lincoln, why should they make 2018 as far as possible a must attend the York Maze event?
Well, it's basically just a fantastic day out. Not only do you get to get lost, there was lots of interesting facts to learn along the way, and there's a lot more to do than just a maze. I mean, I'm sure since I last went in 2014, there's even more.
There's Colonel. There's the Cobmobile. There are a whole heap of other Tom Piercy creations that are just sort of wondrous in every sense of the word, and indeed will continue to be as far as life, the universe, as everything else is concerned.
How big is this maze? Is it
huge?
It's huge.
It is actually Europe's biggest maze.
Oh, isn't it?
That's really fun.
Exactly.
I do love a good maze.
Well, then. As a pre-graduate present, you'll need to make that journey. You'll need to actually think north, Hannah. Don't think going down to Harwich. Think Harrogate. It's same sort of thing. You see, Harrogate, Harwich. Easily sort of confused. I've said to Tessa several times she's had the opportunity to come to Harrogate. Turned us down every time. Sorry.
I have been invited. I've just not yet trip. But I do need to. I'd love to go.
Well, the message is there, clearly.
I would love to go.
So, meanwhile, are you still working for that French glass manufacturing company, Katrina?
I am.
Very good.
French glass.
Yeah, exactly. Would you like to share, give a shameless plug. Which French glass company are you working for, Katrina?
I work for Saint-Gobain. Saint-Gobain Glass.
Yeah, which I don't think anybody quite heard. So would you like to just tell us, it's Saint-Gobain as in Saint-Gobain, as in Saint-Gobain. Saint-Gobain.
Yeah.
Very good. Because exactly. Otherwise it could be very confusing. It's like somebody sort of looking for San Francisco and it's Saint-Gobain from that point of view. But in addition to that, Penny Evans has just tuned in to hear us talking about the TARDIS. Well, Penny, that's because we're TARDIS people. Welcome back, Penny Evans, of course, who was responsible for some magical Christmas moments and has also donated to the Save Fuzz Aldrin campaign.
Aldrin.
It's fantastic. Twice. I mean, it's just
that is dedication.
Phenomenal. Keeps Fuzz going. That's the important thing. Katrina, you're also a singer as well as a Saint-Gobain glass person. So when we talk about barbershop quartets, people tend to think about the male of the species. But in this wonderful 2018 gender non-specific world in which we live in, it's okay because you can work through that. So tell us about labs and why maybe Tessa and Hannah could actually take on board a challenge to sing with labs, or as they technically refer to it, a sing out, girls. It's called the Sing Out.
Correct. So LABS is the Ladies Association of British Barbershop Singers, and it's actually an umbrella organisation there's about 50 or probably more than that now, choruses of ladies barbershop choruses around the country, including Scotland.
Even Scotland.
Wales.
Good heavens. Yep.
and all the way around the country. So the chorus that I belong to is based in Selby, and it's called the Abbey Bells. And we are having a great time at the moment. We've actually just done our first week of a Discover Singing course, so for new members. So the first of 5 weeks, going through the basics of how to sing and why it's good for you, and then learning a song together. it's really good fun.
I mean, as a graduate of Manchester University back in the day, Katrina, not too many days ago, obviously, but did you find that singing actually helped calm your nerves? Because, I mean, both Tessa and Hannah, I get the feeling they're a bit stressed these days. You know, it's the,
what gave us away, Alex?
I think it's... I haven't studied all the research, but there's definitely research to show that singing is good for you. You know, you're doing lots of deep breathing, which is always helpful for stress, or for reducing stress. And the fact that you're singing with a group of other ladies, in our case, it's a good chance to meet friends and have a laugh as well.
Yeah.
And there's usually a lot of cake involved.
Oh, sold.
You see, you can tell the kind of themes that come through from Midrick Drive. It's whatever the kind of convenience are
there. The problem is I'm just hungry and thinking about my dinner at the moment, so someone mentions cake, I'm just like,
we were just
I'm
talking
there.
About cake, wasn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we were talking about cake.
Fruitcake.
And just use a search engine to find the Ladies Association of Barbershop Quartets or Labs, and I'm sure you'll find all manner of other routines. Yeah. Katrina, it's been fabulous squeezing in another few seconds with you. Good stuff. That's been far too short a time. Yeah. But we still got to go to Rick Davies, still got to speak to Juliet Howland, even squeezing Andy Cope and Phil Leonis. Have you had... Oh, go on, Tessa, ask the two questions.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us?
I have, thank you. It's been lovely to talk to you all again.
Oh, that's brilliant. And will you be joining us again on the show sometime soon?
Definitely, if I'm invited.
Of course, our official Selby correspondent is back. Yay!
Is a place where people turn up. People who have resigned from a certain sort of job, have defected or have been extracted. The specialized knowledge in their heads is of great value to one side or the other. Are you sure you haven't got a village here?
Where is this village?
Lithuania, the Baltic. 30 miles from the Polish border.
How did you find out?
Nadia told me.
How did she know?
She used to work for their government. She came across a secret file.
On how to catch a spy in six lessons.
I risked my life and hers to come back here, home, because I thought it was different. It is, isn't it? Isn't it different?
Maybe not. With Donna Summer and Sunset People in the background, a perfect way to keep the ITC theme going that we talked about with Andre earlier in the production. And welcome for his Midweek Drive debut, the awesome Rick Davey. How are you, Rick?
I'm very well, thank you. Nice to speak to you.
Excellent. Well, we've got Tessa Snart and Hannah Brown with us as well, and they've been sharing a whole manner of wonderful things. In fact, you can even go to our southsidebroadcasting.com page on Facebook, and you'll see photographs of them holding in their wonderful, wonderful manners Playboys, Spies and Private Eyes inspired by ITC, because as I said to Annette, I was so impressed with PDF, I already went and bought a copy. It was amazing. With this particular number, before we get into the details of what it's all about, etc., to share this, as I talked about with Bill Coles earlier in the production from Edinburgh, a lovely little quote from a section from Robert Fairclough. All the evidence suggested that I wouldn't get a response, but I've always believed you should never say never. Still do. The mobile rang. I didn't recognise the number. Hello? A gruff, wry voice. This is Patrick calling from LA. I didn't make what should have been the automatic connection. Patrick who? Patrick McGowan. Even and unflappable. People describe their brain freezing, but I thought it was hyperbole until that moment. This was Patrick McGowan, the mastermind behind The Prisoner, calling me from America, the chance of a lifetime. I tried for something significant to say, but it wasn't happening. How are you, Patrick? It was the best I could manage. Fine, fine. I wish you could see this, the sun coming up over the sea. It was clearly early where he was, but he was in good spirits and already out and about. Then, I'm just calling to tell you I won't be doing any more interviews about The Prisoner for the rest of my life. Be seeing you. End of phone call. Genius. It's the shortest and most inept interview I've ever done, at least Robert Fairclough from that point of view. And one of those laugh out loud moments, which I find was just one little snippet there. Let me get started on the white car with the next theme coming through. But genius stuff. Tell us about how you came up with this idea for Playboy, Spies and Private Eyes, please, Rick Davey.
Well, my co-editor, Alan Hayes, first came to me and said, why don't we do another prisoner book? There's been so many prisoner books, as you know, about The Prisoner, over 50, I think, over the years that have been written about that particular series. He said, why don't we write it from the point of view of the fans? And I thought, would people really go for a book with 30, 40 chapters all about, from different fans, all about one series? So I said, well, why don't we just do it about ITC generally? I can't remember if it was he or I that actually said those words. I thought, what a great idea. So we set about trying to find people that were passionate about one of the ITC series so that each chapter would not only be about a different series, but would be by a different person. So you'd have 30 or so different perspectives, all about the same genre, but all about a different show. And that was how it came about. So we set about contacting people that we knew, people that we didn't know very well, but that were always associated with a show. For example, we've got people that used to run various fan clubs for some of the shows. We've got the lady that used to run the Randon Hopkirk fan club, the gentleman that used to run the fan club for the Persuaders, and asked them if they would like to write about what the series means to them. So not only do we have a great look back at these great old shows that we love, but also from a very personal perspective, telling their own stories. An example that you just gave from Robert Fairclough is a perfect one. No one else can tell that story because obviously it only happened to him.
I try to capture the Fairclough essence. I mean, it's been about 14 years since Robert actually joined us on one of these shows, so obviously research was a little bit low, but it's nice to see that we're sorting through. Now, Tessa and Hannah and dear listener, join me in this because we're going to hopefully do a little time travelling now with Rick Davey. Actually, the question, I'm going to prompt you with this question, Tessa, is you can actually ask Rick, where does this actually take him to in terms of his own personal reflections on a series of the 1970s with a certain Ian Ogilvy. Who has indeed featured on this very programme as well in his own way. So, Tessa, would you like to talk about that particular theme and what it might mean, possibly, to our very own Rick Davey?
Yes, so Rick, what does it mean to you? It's a very upbeat tune.
And before you answer, Rick, would you like a music bed? Because we've got one lined up for you, which is pretty much this, really. So it's sort of just a nice little upbeat number. So is that okay? Or would you like it? Would you like Naked Speech or the music bed?
No, that's great. Pretty perfect. I feel like I'm there in the theme. Although I'm set at my office at home, it almost feels like I'm just about to do some low-level womanising or something.
Steady.
the theme tune that you played is, of course, Return of the Saints, which was kind of, I guess, my personal first exploration into the world of ITC. I was only a kid at the time, but it was the first program I remember having to watch each week. There was stuff you dipped in and out of when you're kind of 6 or 7 years old. You might dip in and out of Doctor Who or Blake 7 or other things that were around at the time. And of course, you'd be fed a diet of the usual kid shows. Return of the Saint was the first time I'd watched something as a kid and saw someone on screen who I wanted to be when I was grown up. Now, I look back on it now and think, why would I want to have been stuck in the 70s, you know? But when I think back, though, I remember playing with my toy car on the carpet, and I was always Simon Templar in Return of the Saint. And whatever I did around the house, it was Simon Templar, Return of the Saint, Saves the Day. It was the first show that really connected with me as a person. As I grew older, I got into other shows, and I loved The Prisoner and Rand and Hopkirk, and the other ITC shows are now a passion. That was the first one that really grabbed me in, because it had an identifiable hero. I don't mean the womanizing, I don't mean driving the fast car. What seven-year-old does either of those? But in my head, playing with a little toy car at the top of the stairs, there was someone on the TV who I could pretend to be when I got home from school.
In the immortal words of Fiona Curzon in the episode London Bridge is Falling Down, "But Simon, I see naked people every day." It's all right, it wasn't that kind of show, don't worry, but it was something which many people have forgotten, that Ian Ogilvy, of course, took on board the mantle of Simon Templar after Roger Moore. Yes, we talked about this. Is the scary stick man we're looking at?
Oh, yeah,
pages,
I was
in case
going
people
to say.
Wonder, you know, it's a scary stick man. It's,
yeah, I saw that in the book. Yeah, I was saying to you as well.
Look at the scary stick man.
The stick man.
That's the saint, you see. It's a little halo from that sort of point of view.
But Return of the Saint really, I think, sums up the fun that these shows were. The one word I put to all these programs from ITC of that era is that they're great fun. You watch TV now, and I'm not one of those people that says, well, TV now is rubbish and TV years ago was brilliant. There's some fantastic stuff on now as there was years ago. But, you know, there's no fun in Broadchurch. There's not much fun in Downton Abbey. But all these ITC shows were great fun from start to finish. Each week had, you know, a beautiful guest star. Each week had a car chase. Each week had a punch-up. Each week had a bit of humour thrown in. And I think we're missing that a little bit now, and that's why... I'm sorry to give my own book another plug, but that's why I think the book's great, because it all tells these personal fun stories. There's not a morose story to be found in there.
Hannah, as a connoisseur of televisual arts over the years, what are your thoughts on? Because we were talking obviously with Graham Harper in the early part of the programme, and I was suggesting, you know, Graham's crossed over this as well, that maybe we are in another new golden age of television. And I mean, I must admit, prior to Playboy, Spies and Private Eyes, I held up the golden age of ITC Cult TV by Robert Sellers, so with a foreword by Sir Roger Moore and an afterword by Gerry Anderson, as being the quintessential ITC text, which I'd recommend to any students of the genre. But from your point of view, does this kind of make you think, I shall check out some of those episodes of Return of the Saint? Or is it a case of, you think, have we lost that fun? Is it a case of, you can't do that with a stick man, now you'd be arrested?
Well, I do think it's interesting. I mean, I've seen the first two episodes of The Prisoner, and I did really enjoy that, and I do want
to... Only 15 to go.
Yeah, I do want to watch more of them, because I agree, it's that from my very small experience with these shows, obviously with only those two episodes, it is very different to anything I've watched today, and I do love watching TV shows, especially today. I think there's a lot going on with Netflix and streaming, but it is very different, and I think that's why it really intrigued me. Yes, it seems a bit strange, as in that one with a stick man, and in The Prisoner with the big balloon of doom.
Balloon of doom?
That is what I've termed it.
I like that. Can
it's
we
the balloon of doom, because it is. It's nothing like you'd see on TV today, and I think it gives
you
that.
I mean, I would anticipate yourself and Tessa, and indeed Rick Davey, probably encountering Madame Ongadine's party, which again is being echoed through the background, which is another sort of classic line. From which episode of The Prisoner, please, Rick?
It's A, B, and C.
I thought it was too easy for you. I mean, I knew it was too easy.
You got that straight away.
I think, should we just go with the music or just Madame Ongadine and so on? It's you all along. And it is interesting. Tessa, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I know. I think it always, it has you on the edge of your seat, because there's always something happening. Just, we're watching a little clip here. And yeah, there's the little stick man jumping off the bridge and then jumping into water. There's a lot going on all at once. So you don't really take your
eyes
off
the screen. Very exciting, lots of pace there, lots of showmanship. Is it fair to say, Rick, that, you know, once Sir Lou Gray headed off to another part of his spiritual journey, somehow the television industry was just that little bit a little bit less fun.
I totally agree with you. I think that's definitely the case. And Hannah was right in that something like The Prisoner just wouldn't be made today. I mean, imagine it. Patrick McGoohan at the time was Britain's biggest TV star. I don't know who around today could claim that mantle, but let's use, I don't know, Tom Hiddleston as an example, for example. Let's imagine he quit The Night Manager and then walked into the boss of ITV or BBC and said, I don't want to do it, The Night Manager anymore. I've got my own idea for a TV show. Will you give me the most money that's ever been spent on a TV series without a contract? Just give me the money and I'll go and make it. I won't tell you what's going to be in it until it's done. The person wouldn't turn around and say, yeah, go on then, shake his hand, give him the money and send him off. But that's what Lou Gray did with Patrick McGoohan, because he knew he trusted him. There was no formal contract when The Prisoner was being made. It was all done on a handshake. He just showed him a few photographs of Port Merion, told him about the idea, he didn't give him anything, and Lou Gray said, yep, go for it, and shook his hand, and he was the highest paid actor on television. That wouldn't happen now. You wouldn't get Benedict Cumberbatch saying, I want to make my own show, and BBC
it's
saying...
It's unlikely, let's no, say... Never say never, but yeah. It's unlikely.
It would go through 100 committees, it would all get changed, and it just wouldn't happen. And the same with Randall Hopkirk Deceased. Of course, you had Annette on earlier, and she was the star of that show, and at what point now would a show about two detectives, one of who is a ghost, would get made? It just wouldn't. It just wouldn't happen. But Lou Gray had trust in people and he could see when things were going to work. The Muppets, on paper, should be an absolute failure, but it was one of the biggest shows on television.
No Muppets, no Midweek Drive, let's be honest. My grief, the comedian's a bear. No, he's a nut. He's wearing a necktie. But we need to go to Juliet Howland, who's ace actress and business entrepreneur that we're speaking to in a few moments, which means I need to ask you, Rick Davey, two critical questions. Deal breakers, obviously. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut with us on the Midweek Drive today?
I have, and I hope to be invited back again soon.
Well, I think that's pretty much the last question. Done deal, because we've been looking at Roger Moore's incarnation of the Saint with the Fiction Makers trailer there, with Justine Lord and, of course, Sylvia Sims in from that perspective. So more good news there. Tragically, I can't make Rick Davies' fabulous event that he's coordinating at Elstree next Sunday.
Oh.
I know, I'm gutted as well, but still. There will be other events and other times, I'm sure, Rick, that we'll put together, and hopefully the Midweek Drive team will be there to work through a whole variety of other bits and pieces. Rick Davey, a round of applause, please, for Rick Davey. Don't forget, you can actually go to, obviously, that internet thing, find Playboy Spies and Private Eyes. You can go to Quite Media, quoitmedia.co.uk, presumably find all the details there, Rick.
You certainly can. Thank you very much. I hope everyone enjoys reading it, and please do all send comments about the book.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive. I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went aloft to furl the mainsail in a blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. But I'm living still. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below. They buried me in that gray tomb that knows no sound. But I'm still around. I'll always be around, and around, and around, and around, and around. I fly a starship across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side,
I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again. Or I may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will remain. And I'll be back again and again and again.
Quite right too. Highwayman from the Highwaymen. We'll be back again and again and again and again, and one day we'll actually get it right with the J Dryer. See what we did there, Julia? We thought we'd jump straight into this because clearly Hannah's last production for the Midweek Drive, and indeed I think Tessa's as well, was that amazing Christmas special that we put together, in which we all agreed that had we entered Light a Candle, clearly it would have wiped the floor with the winning entries. But the beauty of lighting a candle is you can do it every day of the year. So we might do it again today.
Exactly. You can light a candle
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You don't have to wait for the whole thing. And it's not going to harm the environment. Well, not much anyway. actress, singer, songwriter, pianist, flautist, guitar player, composer, developer of the J Dryer. And that is what we actually want to talk about today, because we did say beforehand we didn't really have a chance to speak about the J Dryer. We talked about our time at the London Boat Show last week, folks, but there's 3 days on the spotted awards stand at Top Draw Olympia London. I'm looking, obviously, at your Twitter feed, because I do follow you, Juliet. Not in a scary way, but it's all right.
I've got to follow you back. Thanks for the follow. Isn't that what we meant?
Oh, please.
I'm not very good at Twitter.
Don't get me started on netiquette. It's a different line entirely. It's a strange world there.
Whoa. I have to say, I've never... Oh, netiquette. Oh, I see.
Yes, netiquette. Yes.
No, crikey. No, then I must be rubbish.
No. But we will endorse the fact that you say, thank you, hashtag Top Draw London. So what we're doing, and for the benefit of people who are saying, yeah, this could be a market I need to develop. I mean, Tessa and Hannah might as well think the J Dryer. What's it all about?
The J Dryer.
Yeah.
Do you want me to give you a bit of the history of the J Dryer?
Always good. Good narrative.
Obviously, with all my other things that I do, manufacturing and engineering wasn't something I'd ever gone into. And I found this amazing item in my cottage when I bought it. I bought a very run-down 350-year-old cottage, thinking, I can renovate this 13 years ago, and entered into the challenge of doing it. But this thing was on the wall in the kitchen, and it was this incredibly simple drying rack. I thought, oh, my God, I'd never seen anything like it before. And so I... I briefly went up to Q Records office, did some research into it, got the documents, thinking, well, if nobody's done anything with this, why don't I try? And I went to a patent lawyer, and said, look, this is the most brilliant, ingenious, simple design I've ever seen, and there's nothing like it in the world. And I've had a big global search done. And they said, yes, you can do it, because it was first made in 1945, last made in 1954. And I did all the research I could into it, and the family and the chap who invented it, and the design rights had run out. And so I redesigned it, and I learned how to use design software, which I have to say involved quite a few moments of thinking that I wanted to throw my computer out the window, because I found it very hard to do. But I got there, a courtesy of a friend of mine at Westminster School, who brought me into a class. So I sat with some 15-year-old boys who were absolutely brilliant, designing amazing lights and clever things. And I was sitting there trying to draw. Actually, at that point, I was trying to draw the chicken, J. Dry. So I was trying to draw a chicken. So it was a bit surreal. So the J. Dry. So it's taken me, I have to say, come February and March, 3 years from beginning to where we are now, to get it into a smooth production, which has been challenging.
Hannah.
say no more. But the response has been amazing. Olympia was fantastic, and it was really lovely to get the feedback from all those people.
Hannah.
I'm
just overwhelmed.
I'm trying to work out. I gather that it's for drawing, but what? Yes. If I ask what exactly does it look like, am I going to get an answer other than it looks like a J? I've already...
Oh, I see. Oh, right. But if you go... It's on.
I'm not sure what it looks like.
J jdryer.co.uk. Sorry, that sounds like a really blatant plug, but it's, that's when you see
if it's got pictures of what it is, it answers the question.
Yeah, and it's if you go to www.jdryer.co.uk. J-D-R-Y-E-R.
It's all right. We're there, Juliet. Don't worry. We're sorted through. The magic has been there. The J Dryer was inspired by a vintage design and is unique to the UK and global market. The perfect solution for drying laundry, particularly in homes with limited storage space.
So perfect for students. I remember us talking about
it. Well, this is the thing, because what's been so lovely is that people have come up, and you can always tell when people don't know what it is. They look very puzzled, and then they go, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. Or people who remember their grandmother or their great aunt having one. And
you got Beatty the chicken, you got Genie the Scotty dog, you got Widgeon the sailing boat.
The designs are lovely.
We decided to give them names because I have rescue hens, which I adore, and my I've got one who's such a character called Beatty, and she needs a cuddle every morning. She comes up and sticks her head over my shoulder if I bend down, and I love them all, but I thought Beatty was a good name. And then the Genie is my grandmother's, my father, and he sadly passed away 6 months ago, but my father, as you know, my father and my mother, so he grew up with Scotties, and my grandmother had Scotties, and Genie was the one that I first, when I was little, introduced to Genie. And Widgeon was the name of my father's wayfarer sailing boat. It was the love of, well, not the love of his life, because obviously mum was, but he loved his sailing boat very much. And so we just gave them names, really, to make it a bit,
Does that not suggest personal. Multi-award-winning Golden Globe and Academy Award-winning movie script to you?
Oh, yes.
I'm looking at you, Phil Lena, who are coming to in Los Angeles in a few moments. I'm looking at you at this moment.
It has been quite funny, because I have to say, the journey of manufacturing and getting things made in England in this country is challenging. It is unbelievably challenging.
Let's face it, Juliet, England itself is challenging. You know, that's what we find on a regular basis.
They are so lovely, though.
I'm glad you said that, not me. But it is challenging. It's been hard. I can't pretend that it's been easy, because it hasn't. It's been really, really hard. And that's why I think the last 3 days were just so amazing, to actually have it out there in the public and have media interest, and there's some places in Lincoln and near Lincoln that might be stocking it, all around the country and beyond as well. So I'm really thrilled, because
it's frankly the thing without which the whole world would be just less happy, really. have a J Dryer.
You want to be my PR campaigner? You'd be rather good,
Julia. I'm sure we could talk and discuss and do a whole range of other aspects from that. Yeah, exactly.
I think so.
Do you now feel as though you know what a J Dryer is?
Yes, and
can you see it going
impressive down
well in Harwich?
Yes. it'd be great. I think my mum would like it. They look quite cool. I quite like it. They're convenient to put up and put down, and they look pretty, you know.
Well, the thing, because drying racks normally are just such a pain. I mean, I think most people got a traditional one, the crisscrossy one that you have to put up, or you and things snag on them, and you have to...
It's just a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. You end up negotiating, you know, just thinking, right, okay, well, I put that over there, and if I don't have to iron that, I'll put that there, and then you end up putting
Normal dryers don't look very nice, and you could have that out.
They don't.
It's like,
well, this
it's
is the thing.
Lovely.
They go inside and outside, and the whole point is to make them look nice, and because they're sort of powder coated and beautifully powder coated, you can slide, you actually just can thread.
Suddenly I feel as though
you just whisk it off and put it down.
Oh, wow.
Perfect in a country hat home.
Do you know, suddenly I feel as though I'm metamorphosing.
And above an Argus.
Yes. Oh, that would be lovely.
I did the short arm dry specifically to go above the Argo. I haven't got an Argo, but to go above a range cooker. Am I meant to say that rather than Argo? I'm not quite sure.
And I just feel as though we've metamorphosed into the shopping channel. But it's skate stuff nevertheless, and I'm delighted that we covered that, because
Joy and Her Mop, the film from Jennifer Lawrence a few years ago. I've had many people say
it'll happen.
Version. Juliet and her drying racks.
Exactly. jdryer.co.uk is the absolute essential place to go to find out all details about the J drying scenario. I mean, I can't imagine the Stone Tapes doing a single programme without referring to the J dryer, and rightly so too. I mean, spread the word on that basis. But we have to say, once again, those last two questions as Sam Stone enters the studio saying, can I have a Jay Dryer as well? I'm sure we something can arrange, Sam. We'll work on that basis. It's all there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
The Jay Dryers are going to take over the drying world.
It's amazing. Yeah. In fact, David J. Howe he's pushed a full-size Dalek recently. He should have gone for a Jay Dryer. last two questions, please. Tessa?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I have indeed, and I have to say, I'm sitting in a rather nice hotel room because I've come, a friend of mine's mother sadly passed away, so they've just, I turned up.
Juliet, we're going to have a phone link with you shortly where we don't talk about people dying. I mean, not that there's anything necessarily wrong with people transcending, but you know, it's just, people do, but just let it go. That's the important thing. It's fine.
So I grabbed the hotel because I said to them, they said, we can go on to sort of second landing and talk. I thought, oh gosh, and then I was offered a hotel key room to go. So I'm sitting in a rather nice hotel room. It's lovely to speak to you, as always. And I have very much.
This is good. Let's get to the second question. We've only got 20 minutes left on the programme. Yep. Carry on.
Will you be joining us again on the show soon?
I would love to join you again on the show, you know, and talk about the film script.
Yes.
Play that piano. Play that piano now.
Play and the piano. Oh!
Just say yes. That's the important point. Not just say no. Say yes. Be positive. Ensure that you can actually move on through the challenges and so on. Something which is very much to the fore of positive thinking throughout. And who better to speak to when we're talking about positive thinking in general than somebody who's actually done a whole PhD in positive thinking? It's the fabulous Andy Cope. How are you, Andy?
Hello. I'm very, very good. And I've got a big grin on my face.
Whoa. And the equally wonderful Zoe Towers from Jet2 World. How are you, Zoe?
I'm brilliant, thank you.
But it's Jet 2 holidays, it let's is, be precise. Yeah. You know, it's a Jet 2 world, it's a Jet 2 holidays. It's great stuff. Andy, let's talk initially with yourself, because I'm constantly saying with my students here at the University of Lincoln, be positive. You need to work on that. Sometimes it's really difficult to get into a positive frame of mind when we kind of think, oh, this is wrong, oh dear. And if you get negative, you get more negativity, don't you?
You do. The thing is, it is... I've spent 12 years, mate, interviewing happy and positive people. So at Loughborough Uni, I'm based at Loughborough, and I've been doing a research project in positive psychology, essentially the science of happiness, the science of well-being, the science of feeling good. And of course, what happens is your brain is predisposed to be negative. So all the time, if you want to be a happy person, you're almost having to fight the urge of saying no. So we're very good at saying no. We're very good at being cautious and pessimistic. And do you know what? The Brits, if you kind of listen to the people around you, there's a lot of people who are stuck in moan mode and stuck in no mode. And the Jet 2 research is, you know, it is about the science of saying yes. It is about the kind of making 2018 a bit more spontaneous and saying yes to new opportunities.
Over the last few years, we've heard lots of cases where people have taken that positivity, and usually you get more positivity. Is it something that is it typically British though? Because we've often said culturally we like to moan.
We do like to have a moan, fella. And I do know what I think. I call it minor glumness. There's an epidemic of minor glumness, and minor glumness is that feeling in the pit of your stomach in the dark winter months when the alarm goes at stupid o'clock. Is the feeling in the pit of your stomach of, do you know what? I'm not sure I can do this anymore. I can't drag myself out of bed and go to work. Is this it? And I would put to you that the average lifespan is 4,000 weeks. Right now, that if you went out that to a bunch of kids, they'll be leaping around the school hall going, yeah, 4,000 weeks, that's like forever. Thanks for sharing that, Andy. But if you share that with your listeners, and the average person listening to this radio station is going to be alive for about 4,000 weeks, then the adults, there's less punching of the air and more of a collective gulp of, do you know what, that isn't a very big number. I've used a few. Now, as a science researcher, a positive psychology researcher, I would suggest to you that most people are living life fast, but are we living it well? And if life is the ultimate special occasion, which I believe it to be, then actually saying yes opens up doors and opportunities for you.
It's also 700,000 hours, by the way.
Hey! That's not a big number either,
no,
actually.
Exactly.
No. That's even smaller.
When I calculated the number of hours I'd been on the planet, I thought, oh, Lord, that's it then. Fair enough. You know,
it's about making a bit of a dent in the universe as we go through it, actually. On a really serious point, Alex, it is about making a bit of a difference and your happiness. So when you do get this kind, you know, the link between happy people and saying yes is not a difficult one to make, because the power of yes and the power of happiness are quite closely related. What you're find is far too many people are sitting in their life waiting for something amazing to happen to them, whereas what you find is really happy people, they make things happen, and therefore this power of yes does open up these opportunities. It creates an excitement and an energy within you, and there's too many people saying yes to the wrong things. Tell them about the research. Let's go with the research and then take it from there.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're saying yes to things at work, and they're giving excuses for not saying yes. Like, I don't have enough money, I'm tired, I'm too busy. But they're too busy, like Andy was saying, with the wrong things.
I've got a dissertation to do, I can't go along to this interview.
Yeah, or they're just scared of taking a risk. What if I do something wrong? What if this isn't right? Rather than going, let's just go for it.
I think we're saying yes to the wrong things, right? So we're saying yes to let's work longer hours. Yeah, great stuff. Let's do more social media. And of course, they're not great stuff. So the modern world conspires against us. It is incredibly busy. So busyness, B-U-S-Y-N-E-S-S, is a real word. I mean, if you put some dramatic music on this, mate, I think the things you should be saying yes to in 2018 are things like getting out of bed with a really positive attitude, things like trying new things. You say yes to smiling more, saying yes to wearing your favourite sexy knickers even on a Monday, say yes to 30 minutes exercise a day, and to yes to more hugs, yes to more spur of the moment decisions, and yes to more holidays, yes to more silliness, yes to more adventure in 2018. And what you will find is if you start accumulating more yeses, you will start to claim your life back, and you will make 2018 the best year of your life so far.
Eva McDonald, any thoughts from somebody who's actually going to be heading off to Cleethorpes to actually be entertaining people? Because you said yes.
I think it's really important to always take those sort of things on and always say yes to more opportunities, because there is a point, if you don't take a lot of opportunities and say yes to things, then you do end up in this state of mind that's really negative, which can happen really easily. So it's really, I think it's really important to
Well, actually, do you know what, on a really, really serious point is, you know, I don't know whether Cleethorpes is a hotbed of happiness here, but the problem with saying no, the problem saying is no is we're predisposed to saying no because it's easy and it's safe. And no, if you want to keep things as you are, keep saying no. But most people are a million miles away from feeling as great as they could. So we have this unexplored happiness potential. In fact, my research started 15 years ago with a question in my head, and the question was, could you be happier even if nothing in the world around you changed? And if you just swirl that around in your head just for a sec, could you be happier even if nothing in the world around you changed? And my answer in my head was, yes, I could be. So therefore, there's an admission to myself that I had the potential to be happier, but I wasn't being. So then I ran a conference and I asked 1,000 people at this conference, could you be happier even if nothing in the world around you changed? And about 999 of them put their hands up and said, yeah, we could be. So it wasn't just me. We are getting in our own way. We've all got the potential for happiness and we're not doing it. So I really think that the Jet2 research is much bigger than holidays. It is about saying yes to opportunities in life. And it's thrilling. It creates an excitement. It creates an energy. And a couple of well-placed yeses might even change your whole life.
Exactly so. I mean, just saying yes to doing a radio interview could suddenly actually open up a whole range of things there. Zoe, I mean, if you can bottle Andy's enthusiasm and apply it to Jet2 Holidays, surely you've got the winning company, haven't you?
Well, I have the best job in the world because I get to fly to Mallorca, Croatia, Greece, and I see people who've said yes to a holiday, yes to a new experience, yes to spending time with their friends and family in warm, sunny climates with nice food. And I get to see that and I see the difference they make as rather than say, oh, I haven't got enough money, is like, well, there's lots of different types of holidays. See what you can afford. There's lots of different durations. You can put down low deposits and getting out there and doing it, because that's what you'll remember. That's what people talk about for years, is when we were in Croatia, we did this. When I was in Ibiza dancing, when I had that great meal in Palma Harbour, whatever it might be. Those are the things that you talk about forever.
Can I just build on that? Just Alex and Eva, can I just build on that? Is that if you, what the science of happiness and positive psychology tells us is that you're going to get more happiness for investing your money in an experience rather than a product. So what that, and I think, without me pushing the holiday thing too much, I just think that investing more time and effort and energy and money in an experience. Now, a holiday is the ultimate experience. And the other thing, when you're on holiday, the Jet2 research shows that when you're on holiday, you actually do things differently and you step outside of your comfort zone and you try new food, you try new things. And therefore, a holiday, it means you're having experiences within an experience. And I think it's the ultimate happiness explosion. So saying yes to more of those adventurous things, I think is well, it's a bit of a no-brainer, to be fair.
It's tangible. It's wonderful. It's just so much better than the old man who used to say yes, who worked for a Del Monte company. But that's a different line entirely. Lord above. We've got two final questions for both of you. Fine. Well, first of all, actually, where can people go to, Zoe, to find out more details about Jet2 Holidays?
If you go to www.jet2holidays.com, you'll find all about our research and also lots and lots of holiday ideas.
And Andy, obviously flagging up the joys of Loughborough University, even though we're actually here at Lincoln University.
Another world-class institution, yes.
Exactly. Where would you suggest people should go to find out more about your own excellent research?
Mine is just artofbrilliance.co.uk. But our thing is, of course, is stop waiting for life to happen and make life happen for you. You know, if you're sitting in your vest and pants at home eating curry and chips from a plastic tray, Jennifer Aniston isn't going to suddenly knock on the door and go, boom, you're the one for me. You've got to get out. You've got to do stuff. And I think it's invest in experiences.
Meet the universe halfway. Do something. Just do something.
Hey, it's nice to talk to people who are already converted on this. So thanks ever so much.
Well, it's been an absolute delight. And two final questions for both of you. Have you both had a reasonably interesting and happy and positive telephonic link with us today?
Absolutely.
Thumbs up from me, fella. Yes, thank you.
So will you be kind enough to return, hopefully, as 2018 continues to be an awesome year?
Well, yes, indeed. And I challenge all your listeners to maybe say yes to a couple of things that would normally say no to, and just see how things, maybe we can pick up on that next time.
Yeah.
pleased to see that Penny Evans identified the Return of the Saints theme. Well done, Penny. Thanks to Graham Harper. Thanks to William Coles. Thanks to Annette Andre, Katrina Webb, Rick Davey, and Juliet Howland. And, of course, Andy Cope on the power of saying yes. Not to the man from that fruit organisation, by the way. Anyway, he also had a white suit. Hannah Brown, have you enjoyed your midweek drive return for the first one, for yourself at least, in 2018?
I have. It's been very fun.
Good. Go to sleep now. Actually, it's all right.
I need food first.
Food and then sleep. Either of those two. Although sometimes going to bed on a full stomach can lead to all sorts of strange...
I guess I could read a book before I go to bed.
True,
then,
you know? True. Yeah. I'll prepare the dissertation. Tessa, back with your good self. All happy, all good?
Yes. It's been a very good show. It's flown by.
It's been yes and yes. And putting in cameo appearances because they are superstars in their own way. And prepping books
yes,
for the Stone
course.
Tapes. We have Sam Stone and David J. Howe. Good to see you folks. The reason we couldn't connect you with Phil Leonis is Phil Leonis is poorly, so get well soon, Phil.
Might be
very well, because he did say he might join us at midnight LA time, which would be, so maybe he's just changing his health rhythm, so he may be back tomorrow morning when Eva McDonald will be with us, Steve Sharp will be with us, Richard Fitzwilliams will be with us talking about The Post and Hostiles. Ian Lennox will be around. Dick and Dom in the bungalow, obviously, even though actually the bungalow I believe was repossessed. That's why Dick and Dom are now financial advisors. I am not kidding you. We're talking finance with Dick and Dom and students. Kate Nightingale, style psychologist, discussing buyer's remorse. And Aviva international rugby player Danny Kerr will be talking about his community fund, or the Aviva Community Fund. And Professor Richard Wiseman will be celebrating, or indeed discussing, Resolution Ditch Day. We are at the day, folks. This is the day. These are the 24 hours, 17th and 18th of January, where most people say the heck with that New Year's resolution.
Oh, I see.
Hence Resolution Ditch Day. Not some kind of off part of the roadway that you sort of stagger into.
Exactly. Here, yeah.
Where you deal with bears. No, you sort of
resolve that by digging a ditch.
Can't do that these days with respect to Carillion. Different line entirely. But I'm sure Carillion are doing great stuff in terms of digging things, if only themselves, into greater opportunities of things. The news is coming up. Following that, we've got Siren Radio taking you through the night with a whole heap of good material. Paramore and Fake Happy takes us through with this particular aspect. So too, David J. Howe, Sam Stone. Don't forget, you can get Sam Stone books on the internet, on the web, and they're all manner of things there. Tell Us Publications, great stuff there. Tessa Snott and Hannah Brown, we salute you. Farewell, dear listener, for the moment. Back again next week, I presume?
Yes.
Or indeed, possibly in the morning. I won't even say that. I can hold out hope. But
I've got TV all day.
There we are. Of course, Tessa doesn't do TV these days, so she might drop in. No, she's not going to be there.
Jump ship.
We'll negotiate this. Yeah. Can we all say Auf Wiedersehen?
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. Auf Wiedersehen. Auf Wiedersehen. Pet. But I hope I don't blink. It's easy.